One.
Good afternoon. I'd like to call to order the Infrastructure Planning and Sustainability Committee of meeting of the City of Tacoma of August 11, 2021. Clerk, will you please call the roll?
Councilmember Beal, absent. Councilmember Hunter?
Here.
Vice Chair Walker?
Here.
Chair McCarthy?
Here. And just for the record, I believe Councilmember Beal will be joining us relatively soon. So for those who haven't watched or listened to these meetings over the past few months, the IPS committee has been tasked by the full city council back in May to consider the planning commission's proposals on non-interim tide flats and industrial land use regulations and come up with, consider them, review them, discuss them, and see if we can't come up with some changes and or improvements to give to the full city council with a deadline of completing our work at committee at least by the end of August. So as we've been marching through the different major substantive topic areas where there was concern. And today we're gonna be talking about those proposed regulations relating to residential uses in the tide flats area. And we're going to be joined by some guests today who have some concerns with the Planning Commission's proposals. So with that, we're going to get going and we're going to start out with presentation from our staff. We have Planning Development Director Peter Huffman, as well as Steve Victor, our city attorney here as well.
Thank you, Chair, members of the committee. Again, Peter Huffman, Director of Planning Development Services, and I am going to provide a brief presentation here. So I'm going to go share my screen. Let's see here. Okay. Okay, so for starters, I just wanted to refresh where we started here with the interim regulations that have been in place since 2017. So what, as far as residential uses, so this presentation is focused on residential uses. So the interim regulations restricted residential development densities in Northeast Tacoma along Marine View Drive and the Hillside. So it restricted, the area is zoned, the hillside is zoned R2. So there is a minimum lot size of 5,000 square feet. And the interim regulations limited the number of, I just draw a blank on that. Steve, can you jump in, please, and remind me of what the interim regulations, how they modified the densities? I've been so focused on the overlay, but they reduced the buildable amount of land on the Northeast Tacoma slope above Marine View Drive. And I have some maps. It limited the division of land and subdivisions along the slope, the Northeast Tacoma slope along Marine View Drive. It also did some modifications to the residential uses in the M1 along Puyallup Avenue. It changed the residential uses in the M1 from permitted to conditional use in order to address some of the concerns that have been brought up regarding residential uses in close proximity to the Port Maritime Industrial districts, as well as the M2 and the Manufacturing Industrial Center. And so it basically said that the uses as listed below would go from outright permitted to a conditional use permit. So that's in the interim regulations. And then it prohibited certain residential uses in the PMI zone, such as work release centers and juvenile community facilities. So those uses were allowed in the zoning code prior to the interim regulations. And I drew a blank on the first bullet. Sorry.
So on the first bullet, Chair and members of the committee and Peter, it limits the densities to a baseline of one residential unit per acre. There is some allowance, however, in the recommendation for greater density through a planned residential development, acronym PRD. And under those circumstances, the application would be reviewed for distance from industrial uses, with the idea that a successful PRD could group more density further, if the property allows it, and further away from the industrial uses. So that allows more flexibility. The intent, the planning commission's intent was to allow more flexibility in development.
So just can we pause there just for a sec, Peter and Steve, just so if we look at the slide, the first bullet point, we're talking right now about Northeast Tacoma along Marine View Drive in the hillside.
Yes.
And the proposal, the interim regulations, did you say outright prohibited it? And the planning commission came back and said, or am I getting that wrong? You could develop there, but with a minimum of one lot or one home per acre.
Councilmember, you're correct. It is a prohibition in the interim regulations.
Correct.
The planning commission allowed a base of one unit per acre, but the opportunity to apply for a PRD, planned residential development, which could include more units, but if the property allows it at a sufficient distance from the industrial uses to ensure public health, safety, and welfare.
Yeah, that's what I drew a blank on, is the interim regulations. The interim regulations was an outright prohibition. So this first bullet is no new development. I'm getting ahead of myself, and there's a slide come up. The Planning Commission's recommendation that's before IPS allowed development at one unit per acre, but an ability to get more density through a PRD or planned residential development. And so I got some slides on that. I've got some maps here. So that's what I drew a blank on, was what the interim regulations that had been put in place since 2017 did, and that was an outright prohibition.
Was there any reasoning offered for why what the Planning Commission's proposal was in terms of only allowing one house per? Just taking a step back, there's a big picture concern with allowing residential uses close to a major industrial area. Right.
Yeah, let me, if I may, Chair, let me advance the slides here so that we can, because I'll have a slide here that has the overlay zone and those regulations in place, and that's a great topic at that point. So let me just advance the slide. So here's the areas that we're talking about on both issues. So the issue of the overlay, so if you look at the map on the right, you can see that checkered area up there. That's the north slope area up there. That's not the overlay. This is a zoning map on the right. And then on the left is a map that shows the core area of the port container element of the city's comprehensive plan. And the pink area shows the zoning that is outside of the PMI. As you can see, there's various zoning districts there. If you look at that pink area on the map on the right, you can see what the zoning districts are. But I just wanted to show you the geography that we're talking about in both issues. And we can come back to this map if questions of specific zoning districts or geographies come up. Specifically, here is the hillside that we're talking about, which is shaded there. And the darker blue area is the industrial zoning. And then we've got the properties that are at the end of the presentation circled here. Those are the property that the private property owners will be talking to.
So just real quick, because that's a good map on the right, the rest of the gray area, it would be covered by the Planning Commission's recommendations as well?
Yeah. So Basically, if you look at this map here, the area that is hatched,
okay,
on the right is the overlay.
Right.
And then you can see in this map how that relates to the two private property owners.
And did we did invite today two property owners that and their representatives who had expressed concerns with this based on, you know, their plans for their property. But do you know, did we receive any other feedback from anybody else covered in the gray?
If you know. My understanding is no. The property owners that are on this meeting are the property owners who commented.
Thanks.
Primarily, I think we received comments perhaps in support of the overlay, but just the major opposition and the individual property owners asking to be removed from the overlay are on the call today. So here's what the Planning Commission recommendation is. And after this slide, I would like to invite the Port of Tacoma representatives to express their position on the Planning Commission's recommendation. So the comments that we received on the Planning Commission's recommendation was one that the Foss Waterway and Dome District areas, specifically the east side of the Foss Waterway and the Dome District, both areas are located within the downtown footprint. So they're part of the downtown mixed use center, the regionally designated urban center of downtown. And they both have shoreline zoning and mixed use zoning. And there was a request to have the zoning in those areas that allow residential uses to be looked at and reviewed as part of the interim regulation process. And the staff position and the Planning Commission's position was that those areas, because of their designation in the shoreline, their designation in downtown, are outside the scope of this process and should be considered as part of the sub-area planning process that is moving forward. That those issues of residential encroachment on the east side of the Foss, as well as the Dome District, are valid issues that need to be looked at as far as encroachment on the industrial areas of the port. And that's been a longstanding issue that the city's worked with the port on and other stakeholders. But the proper time and the proper process for that discussion and ultimate outcome would be part of the sub-area planning process. So that is the staff position as well as the Planning Commission position. So that's what's in the Planning Commission recommendation regarding the first bullet. The second bullet is that the Planning Commission recommendation does prohibit uses in the PMI and M2 zone, and staff concurs with that. However, there is also a change in the Planning Commission recommendation that looks at the permitted uses in the M1 and shifts those uses to a CUP. And there's some confusion about that. And I think there is some confusion that in the draft, it not only does it restrict or allow residential uses in the M1, but it also does in the PMI. And so that is a mistake. That is an error that needs to be corrected. But certainly similar to the first bullet, unless the proposal is restricting and going to a more restrictive land use regulatory scheme like a CUP in the M1, the staff believes that any change to the residential uses in the M1 that would permit more uses in the M1 would not be appropriate to address that at this time, that would be part of the sub-area planning process. So other than the error that allows residential uses by a CUP in the PMI and the M2 through the Manufacturing Industrial Center, that needs to be corrected before this moves forward to the full council. But the shift of residential uses to a CUP in the M1, which could be seen as going more restrictive, but it also could be seen as being less restrictive than what the zoning is in the the zoning prior to the interim regulations. Remember, the interim regulations had those uses go from outright permitted to a CUP. Certainly, a CUP, as we've discussed in the past, is an appropriate mechanism for permitting those residential uses. But consistent with the discussion above, the residential discussion could also be postponed to the sub-area planning process because it could be tied in to that larger issue of residential uses in that buffer area around the industrial area, and perhaps that larger issue about residential issues, residential uses in the M1, the east side of the Foss, the Dome District, should be discussed in a more comprehensive manner as part of the sub-area planning process.
Because you know, some of us have small brains like myself. I just want to ask a few basic questions. So, like the first piece, can you just show us on the map the Thea Foss and the Dome District? This is where, as I understand it, and you might be able to use your cursor. I don't know if that works when you're sharing your screen. Maybe it doesn't. I don't know. That what you're saying is the Planning Commission made recommendations to, I believe, allow some residential uses on the Thea Foss and the Dome District that are otherwise currently not allowed, and that you believe it's outside the scope of what the Planning Commission was looking at?
So let me try to make this as clear as possible. Do you see my cursor? I see my cursor.
Yep.
Okay. So this is the east side of the Foss. All right. This is the 11th Street Bridge or the Murray Morgan Bridge. All right. North of this area on the shoreline of the Foss, residential uses are prohibited. Okay. South of the Murray Morgan Bridge in this shoreline district, residential uses, hotel, motel, residential uses are allowed. My cursor disappeared. Okay.
Okay.
So one of the concerns, the Planning Commission did nothing to that. The Planning Commission, that's okay. Not part of the scope. One of the concerns that was expressed by some stakeholders, and I believe the port is included in that, that is an issue that has been looked at and needs to be looked at. The staff's position and the Planning Commission's position was that east side of the Foss, south of the Murray Morgan Bridge, should not be addressed as part of the interim regulation discussion, but part of the sub-area planning process.
Okay, that makes sense to me.
Okay, so the other issue is down here, there's some M1. Okay, it's hard to read on this map, but here's the dome area. Okay, and that you can see this is the footprint of downtown, this green dashed line. Okay, and the east side of the Foss. And in this area in here, there's some M1. It's hard to tell, but there's some M1. I think it's this lighter purple area. And there's some M1 down here. The M1 allowed some residential uses before the interim regulations. The interim regulations changed the M1 to only allow those uses through a CUP.
Okay.
But also what happened too was that there was an error table, the land use table, that also instead of it, not only did it allow residential uses as a CUP in the M1, but it also said the manufacturing industrial center and would allow those in the PMI area, this area where the cursor's going around, which is an error, which is going to be, it will be changed because that was not the intent. But that created some confusion about the M1 because of that error. It came across as if the Planning Commission's recommendation was increasing the residential uses ability to get permitted in this larger area. And that's not the case. It's just going from in this M1 area where the cursor is, it's allowing limited residential as a conditional use permit. Now, that is going more restrictive than it was before the interim regulations. So before the interim regulations, that those M1 uses were outright permitted. And the Planning Commission recommendation is that they go to a CUP. I'm just saying that we could move forward with that, or that as part of the east side of the Foss and all of the zoning in here, which is part of a larger issue of residential encroachment along the Port Maritime Industrial, which is going to be a significant issue discussed as part of the Sudbury planning process. That M1 issue could be postponed until the Sudbury planning process is discussed. And I'll let the port talk about what their concerns might be about this buffer issue. But there's a larger buffer issue that includes Northeast Tacoma and the zoning around, including downtown to some extent, the Foss too, that has some concerns relating to the container port element core area and other encroachment issues. So I hope that's clear. It's confusing, but it is the sub-area plan will look at those issues in greater depth.
And Chair, I just wanted to add, I misspoke earlier with respect to Marine View Drive. The current interim regulations, not the Planning Commission recommendations, not discussion of potential limited, just the current interim regulations are limited, not a pure prohibition. It's a limitation of one unit per parcel, okay, regardless of the size of the parcel. And so the recommendation is one unit per acre with PRD, but the current is one unit per parcel. Okay. So at one point it was a prohibition, but it is not currently in the interim regulations.
Okay. So Peter, if you go to your next slide now, or the one following that, sorry. You want to talk about basically there's the two big bullets with the port. Well, I guess I interrupted you. You're going to.
Because I think the all, after this slide, I was going to, if it was appropriate and okay with you, I was going to let the port come into the meeting because they too might have some comments on the Northeast Tacoma Hillside. But as Mr. Victor just said, so it's gone from one unit per parcel, this is the Planning Commission recommendation, to one unit per acre with clustering of that, of that property and the housing with perhaps a little bit more of a density bonus. And it would all depend on the size of the property and the configuration of the property through a planned residential development. So you can get more than one unit per acre with clustering if you're going to cluster the units through a PRD density bonus. So that's the Planning Commission recommendation, first of all. The second piece of the Planning Commission recommendation is that clustering and that housing, or that single one unit per acre, that housing unit, that house needs to be situated on the lot as far away as feasible from the boundary of the Port Maritime Industrial Center, which is basically the toe of the slope, Marine View Drive. Okay. The third bullet in the Planning Commission's recommendation is that the design of the house and the site. So the site and the house need to be designed in such a way to avoid the impacts from the port, which is noise. So the house could have, and what we're looking into is different building code requirements so that the house has, different windows, insulation requirements to mitigate noise, as well as have the site perhaps, be graded in such a way, or the house located in such a way, that we're trying to minimize noise impacts from the tide flat area. And then the last piece of the Planning Commission recommendation is notice on title would be required for any new development up there, recognizing the Manufacturing Industrial Center and the activities in the tide flats. So that third bullet is the Planning Commission's recommendation regarding the slope, and it's an overlay zone. So it'd be creating an overlay zone on that map, on that Northeast Tacoma hillside, which would have these new requirements placed in it.
So I guess here's my thoughts, is that we start with the two big bullets and then we talk about Northeast Tacoma afterwards, just so we can, kind of focus on the Foss and the Dome District, the comments you made, and then the MIC. And then that way we can focus the conversation on those, and then second part of our conversation will be about the hillside. Does that work?
That sounds great, yep.
Okay, so maybe we just bring in, I believe we have Shawnee again. and Deirdre Wilson from the Port of Tacoma. Do you want to turn on your screens? And I'd invite my colleagues as well, if you like, turn on your screens because you might have some questions. I know I do. I'm still trying to track with everybody. And then, Peter, don't be surprised if you get asked to throw the map back up for all of us. So with that, hi, Sean, and hi, Deirdre. Do you want to go ahead and address those two big bullet points?
Chair McCarthy?
Yes.
I just want to note for the record that Council Member Beal has joined us. So if you have questions for him, he's here as well. Thank you.
All right. Hi, Council Member Beal. We're glad you're here. Feel free to turn on your video if you want.
I'm having Wi-Fi issues, so I've got to
Keep it
off. Sorry.
No problem. Okay. So let's do it. Sean Egan, take it away.
All right. Good evening, Mr. Chair and members of the committee. My name is Sean Egan. I'm the Government Affairs Director for the Port of Tacoma. With me this evening is Deirdre Wilson, our Senior Planning Manager. Deirdre is available to be able to answer questions and, quite frankly, probably bail me out of hot water because she is the brains of the operation in many ways. Want to thank you for the chance to be able to be here tonight. I think, you know, just as a quick overview, I think we always need to remember the City of Tacoma and the Port of Tacoma have had a long partnership of working together to be able to create economic prosperity for our community. There are an estimated 42,100 jobs tied to either the marine cargo flowing through the port or the industrial leases down on the Tacoma Tide Flats. And what's great about these jobs is that these jobs are available for their members of our working middle class. They are living wage jobs. They are jobs available not only just to folks who have an opportunity to go off and get a college degree, but they are jobs that are available for people who may not go off and get a four-year degree. Moreover, the economic activity of the port generates over $100 million in state and local tax revenue every year, supporting everything from fire departments to parks to K-12 education, what have you. I wanted to begin by just making two very high-level observations when it comes to the question of land use. Number one is, from a land use perspective, we believe that policymakers should do everything possible to try to keep residential and industrial uses separate. Both are needed for a healthy community. Both are incredibly important, but arguably these two uses are the most incompatible uses that you're ever going to find. When you're able as a community to be able to maintain a degree of separation, you're able to promote environmental justice and public health. You're able to protect the quality of life of residents. And you're also able to provide certainty to businesses to allow them to focus on what they do best. And that is creating living wage jobs for our community. It's also worth remembering that when you have encroachments, when, let's say, residential starts popping up in industrial zones, you bring added responsibilities, specifically the need for supporting nearby civic uses like schools and churches and parks. You need goods and services like stores and eateries and daycares and pedestrian amenities like maybe low speed limits or narrow roads. That would not only create, again, more conflicts within an industrial zone. It also creates more cost for the city because you have to provide for that infrastructure. And then also it would result in a further loss of industrial lands. And that leads me to my second high level observation. And that in order to have these two uses remain healthy, we need buffers, but we need to make sure that those buffers don't come at the expense of industrial lands. Far too often, not just here in Tacoma, we see this occur elsewhere throughout the state of Washington. Residential uses are allowed to encroach on industrial properties, encroach on things like airports, for example. And it results in conflict and it results in demands for the industrial lands or portions of those industrial lands to be converted into something else to be able to create that buffer. But we need to remind ourselves that industrial lands, particularly those situated on natural deep water harbors, are limited in quantity. We're not creating a new commencement bay anytime soon. So the narrative needs to change to one in which the buffers are created outside of the industrial zone, not within that. So with that said, let's take a look at the Planning Commission proposal. I know, Chair McCarthy, you had asked that we kind of forestall in Northeast. I would maybe want to make a quick observation about that, but then certainly be available for additional questions and dialogue as you get to that second part of the conversation this evening. I guess our overall observation is that we support the adoption of the Port of Tacoma Transition Overlay District contained on pages 129 through 131 of the Planning Commission's proposal. I'll admit it, we would have preferred the restrictions under the interim regulations, but we know that that's not sustainable. And so we believe that the Planning Commission recommendation is a reasonable compromise. Not only does it create appropriate buffers between Northeast Tacoma and the tide flats, it also protects the industrial properties from encroachment. And more importantly, it also incorporates into the land use code policies that the City Council has already adopted in its comprehensive plan through the container port element. With that said, we think that there is an opportunity for the council to maybe do a little bit more. As you know, the container port element has been in the city's comprehensive plan for many, many years. Not all of those policies have been codified. We think the conversation around Northeast Tacoma is a good first step. We would encourage council to, if maybe not within this process, but sometime in the near future, think about other ways to codify the other elements of your existing policy as it relates to the container port element. That gets sort of off track from the residential conversation, so I'm not going to go down that rabbit hole this evening. Would be more than happy to talk with you in greater detail, maybe at the next government-to-government work session or at some other future time. So finally, let's circle back to, I think, the question, the first two bullets that Peter laid out. And that is the use tables beginning on page 119 and running through page 123, which add those conditional uses for residential, medical, and health services like retirement communities and schools into the M1 zone. We're obviously concerned with that. Again, it results in encroachment on industrial lands with non-compatible uses. And we think, again, that leads to conflict. And then we agree with what Peter's assessment was that our understanding that conversations around the Dome District were considered outside the scope of the interim regulations, and that this topic would be discussed at a later date. So we think it's premature to make changes in the acceptable land uses for M1 in the proposed industrial land use regulations. So overall, we agree with city staff. We would ask that these specific changes in the table be removed by the IPS committee before sending the proposal back to the full council. And so that's our overall comments. I guess the last thing I just wanted to say once again is an enormous amount of thanks to the four members of the committee, as well as city staff, in particular, Peter and Steve. You guys have been putting in a ton of hours over the last 6 months on this project. I know you've been having to dedicate not only a lot of time in this committee, but in outside meetings. It's a lot of hard work, but I think it has resulted in really thoughtful and meaningful dialogue. We've been able to get the stakeholders to start to get very specific. And that specificity, I think, is helping to perfect the recommendation into a better proposal overall. So just thank you for all that hard work. So on that note, I'll stop talking. And again, if you've got questions for myself or Deirdre, both of us are available and we'll do our best to try and answer your questions.
Thank you, Sean. And Peter, maybe you want to turn back on your camera. So what I'd like to do right now is have the committee ask all of you some questions, just to see where we're on the same page and where we're not. I'm a little confused about the Peter, can you just explain it again? What uses the Planning Commission proposed to allow in the M1 that's different from the status quo?
So my understanding is what the Planning Commission is recommending is that there are uses that were permitted and they're modifying those permitted uses to conditional use permits. That those uses were permitted in the M1 prior to the interim regulations. The interim regulations modified them to conditional use permit. And the Planning Commission's proposal is to go from outright permitted in the M1 to a CUP. Believe my point would be that.
So here's where I'm confused, though, is it because Sean, I thought you said you don't want any residential and M1. So is this different than?
That's my point, is I think the port's position, not to jump in, is that that M1 should not allow residential or those uses. And that is part of that broader conversation regarding buffers and encroachment. Now I may be mistaken if the Planning Commission added those as new uses, but my understanding is those were permitted prior to the interim regulations.
Is just regular M1 elsewhere in the city, does it allow residential uses or
yes.
Not?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. So there's M1 out in South Tacoma Way as well.
Okay.
So yeah. That's where you get into this conversation. So perhaps in the M1 in the Dome District or other M1 that abuts the Port Maritime Industrial Center, should, you know, those residential uses in that M1, or we might call it something different as part of the subarea planning process, should be prohibited as part of this encroachment buffer issue. But perhaps okay. There's areas of M1 out in South Tacoma Way where residential uses may be appropriate.
Okay. So if I'm tracking right, the current regulations allow M1 permitted outright, certain types of residential. The Planning Commission wanted to say, well, only with a conditional use permit, and the ports here is saying we shouldn't allow it at all. And you're saying, Peter, you think perhaps that's a issue's better to address in the subarea plan or planning process?
But there would have to
be a status quo. What would be the baseline, I guess?
Well, the baseline could be a CUP. The baseline could be just leaving them as the CUP as in the interim regulations, or going back prior and allowing them as permitted. Certainly there could be a discussion about prohibiting them at this point, but that, you know, I would look to Mr. Victor regarding that.
Can you give us an example of a site? I know the maps are really small, but I'm thinking, like, are we talking about Puyallup Avenue?
Yes.
Let's say. Okay.
Yes.
So if somebody wanted to put, how does this, I totally agree that there needs to be a buffer, but how, I'm just curious, how does this idea of prohibition in that M1 area, how does that impact like the Dome District, all the planning that's gone on in the Dome District for, which calls for being a transit hub and more residential?
Let me try to get this slideshow up here again. Why is this? I don't know why this isn't okay.
There you go. I think that's fine.
Well, it's not letting me go to the beginning. Let me just go to this. I'm sorry.
That's okay. this is
So where my cursor is the Dome District. And what we're talking about is this area right here. So, you know, I'll let the port talk about what other issues they might have in the dome zoning outside of the M1. But, you know, you can clearly see that there's an edge here where you can have, as well as on the Foss, you can have residential development that abuts the Port Maritime Industrial District. Even though this purple area, this darker area, is M2, it's still heavy industrial. And then this is the Port Maritime Industrial. And, you know, this has been an ongoing discussion in collaboration with the port. And certainly I would consider that to be an issue of discussion that should be talked about as part of the subarea plan. And it's not just this area, but, you know, to your question, Chair, the Dome District, the mixed use zoning is this pink.
Is the pink. Okay. How far up, just curious, Deidre or Sean, how far up from, let's say, Puyallup Avenue does this concern go, or south? It's hard to tell from the map, but that's okay. I'm just trying to get an idea.
Yeah, and I will defer to Deirdre to maybe get slightly more specific. Okay. I think what part of our recognition also is recognizing that the city has designated Puyallup Avenue as a freight corridor, right? And there is a desire to also designate it a transit corridor as well and add other layers on there also. And so admittedly, this is getting out of that land use and drifting into that transportation planning element here. But I think, you know, as we're looking at the ability to be able to access properties moving eastward across the Puyallup River, or then in turn northward up that peninsula between the Foss and the Puyallup, you know, we're thinking about that ability to be able to get ingress and egress. And so, Deirdre, if there's maybe some specifics here that you would like to tease out, I think I would welcome that.
Yeah, I would say that just as a general comment that confining the changes to the tide flats overlay district that's proposed up above Marine View Drive feels like it makes more sense for this process, and the rest should be with the subarea plan. And I will just say that if I'm incorrect, I believe that city staff has been implementing the table of uses to prohibit residential uses in M1. There's a footnote that applies to all of M1, and it talks about uses prior to 2008. And then anything after 2008 has to be within a mixed use development. And that first note has, as far as I understand, has been implemented for all of M1 currently. And so our interpretation is that adding a conditional use permit to those residential uses actually makes it easier to have residential uses in M1. And maybe that's a misunderstanding of the way the table is written. That's another, you know, another complexity with the city code. I have it up here. I can share my screen and show you what I'm talking about if that's helpful. But the board is just not supportive of having a greater allowance for residential uses in industrial zones without further review.
And I guess what I would just add to that, Mr. Chair, is I think that just that confusion is confusing. because I think we have this issue of residential uses encroaching upon the Port Maritime Industrial area that should be discussed and will be discussed as part of the subarea planning process. And what I guess what we're proposing is for the M1, no change.
Okay. And it sounds like the port saying they agree with you, but I guess there's a little confusion on what the status quo is, because you'd said residential is permanent. Deirdre just said she doesn't think it is unless there was an existing residential building. So I guess.
So we will clarify that with you. But what we're saying is those issues of residential uses in M1, as well as the east side of the Foss, should be discussed not as part of the interim regulations, but the subarea plan. So we can clarify what is allowed for residential uses in the M1 per the footnote that Deirdre, because that's really going to be a rabbit hole right now if you want to discuss that. But we can get back to you on that.
Okay, so thoughts, comments from my colleagues, questions probably. Vice Chair Walker.
Thank you, Chair. I do think that we are heading far outside the scope of this conversation, and so I do want to be careful. I would like some clarification on that. If I track your question, Councilmember McCarthy, I think I have the same question about residential in the Dome District and planning that has already happened around that, and being careful not to change that or make that more difficult. So some clarification would be good, but I think as we sort of veer into these other transportation conversations and shorelines, I mean, I just wanna be careful that we stick to our scope on this. So if we could clarify that in between this meeting and the next, I think that would be great, but appreciate the information. And Peter, just sorry, as a secondary, thank you for those maps, because that has been continually confusing for me. So really appreciate the maps and taking time on them.
So I get, Vice Chair, let me ask you real quick. So if the if there's a general agreement to just let the this go through the planning commission process, but there's a different understanding of what's allowed and what's not allowed, I think maybe you're right. We need to iron that out. Because before we decide to maintain the status quo, since we're not 100% sure on what the status quo is. If that makes, I don't know.
Yeah, we can certainly come back to your next meeting and provide you information and clarify that, Chair.
So, yeah. Okay. Councilmember Hunter, do you have questions, thoughts, comments on this piece?
I'm going to defer my questions until after the presentations from our other guests, our presenters here. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Councilmember Beal.
Yeah, I'll just echo what Councilmember Walker said. I know I came in late, but I frankly spent probably 40 minutes a little bit perplexed as to what we're talking about and why this issue's come up. So I guess I need more information. And again, sorry, I've come in late and my Wi-Fi is not great today. Sorry about that.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I think the reason we're talking about it is because there's because the Planning Commission made proposals that, from the port's perspective, would allow residential development in an area that, under their interpretation of the code, doesn't allow any right now, and we don't know whether at this moment in time whether that's accurate or not. And I think I need to think for a second here before we kind of move on, because I do want us to just see if we.
So Mr. Chair, what we might have here is and this is what I, you know, don't want to take up the time of your guests or the committee. We might have a different read of the code and a different interpretation that I need to go back and look at with my staff. And the port may be very correct, or I don't know. So I don't think that this is the time or place to have a discussion with port staff about how the code is applied or how historically it has been applied.
Okay. I agree with that. I think maybe taking a step back further, the big picture question is whether or not residential uses should be allowed in that M1 zone. And I guess my only concern is that totally acknowledging that the port said that there should be some buffer with industrial lands, that we were building this major transit hub that is a place where we expect people to build housing and live. And so if there's conflicts, there has to be a process to resolve the conflicts. And rather than make the sausage here, it probably does make sense to do it the sub-area planning commission. But in between now and then, there'll be some sort of status quo that everybody has to live with and feel that's reasonable. So, okay.
If I may make an observation, Mr. Chairman, this is Sean with the port. I think this may, because we are making references to tables and footnotes and things like that, that's where you start having the potential, just in general, you're getting into a minutia and you can be getting into a place where we may be looking at the exact same thing and interpreting in two different ways. And so I think having an opportunity maybe for our two technical staff to sit back down together one more time to review that, it may turn out that it's we see it, but we just have read it two different ways. And maybe there is a way to, and maybe Peter's interpretation is 100% correct. And so maybe there is a way to tweak it to make it just a little bit clearer so as to avoid the potential misunderstanding in the future. And so,
exactly.
I agree with him. Let's bring our technical bodies back together one more time. And just that way we're looking at the specific footnotes right in front of us. And that may be helpful.
Okay. That makes perfect sense to me. Thank you.
Thanks.
So let's move on now. We're going to talk about the, Marine View Drive piece of this. And, if Sean or Deidre, you have some comments on this as well, you're welcome to turn your cameras back on. But we did Steve and Peter have kind of laid out what the regulations were, with the interim regulations, what the Planning Commission's proposed non-interim. We've heard a little bit from the port about their concerns with the maintaining a buffer outside the industrial lands, which would include some of the areas we're talking about today. We there were at least a few property owners who are extremely concerned with the recommendations that would essentially have some significant restrictions on how they could develop their land. And so just so we can have somewhat of a conversation to understand that a little bit more, I've invited those folks here. So Randy Haberg is here as well as Brian Amsberry, representing the Haberg Trust property. And then we have Teresa Patton and Don Moody from CBRE representing a different property. And so, we got a map up. So I think you all can kind of hold off on your maps. Peter's got a nice map for you. So with that, just going to open this up to Randy and Brian to make some comments, and then the committee will probably have some questions for you. Or Peter, did you want to talk through these slides real quick? Sorry, you prepared them. You're on mute, my friend. Sorry.
I'm having some technical difficulties here.
It's all right.
Just really quickly. So here, and I know that the guests have some slides as well, but here, just for the committee's reference, here are the properties that we're talking about. And here is a summary of the Planning Commission's recommendation. So for the hybrid property, retain this property as part of the overlay district, and we talked about what that meant. And then they remove the area east of the, and this is where I hope the guest maps might be a little bit more detailed.
But in a nutshell, it sounds like from your slide, Haberg, the Planning Commission said, yes, keep that in the overlay with meeting the restrictions. CBRE, the Planning Commission kind of bisected it somewhere with it.
That's correct. That's in a nutshell. That's what it says without having property lines drawn all over the place. And then just for the end of my presentation, you know, we've talked about the first bullet, and the staff would be to maintain the, you know, Port of Tacoma Transitional Overlay District as proposed by the Planning Commission. But, you know, certainly any modification to those boundaries from a staff perspective are perfectly appropriate based on how the committee wants to move forward. There's just have been concerns as expressed, not only in this meeting, but through the process of allowing more density on the slope because of the issue of having residential encroachment, or not even physical encroachment, but just as the council and the committee knows, issues with residential development on the slope and concerns and, you know, expressed by the residents up there of noise, light, odor, et cetera, of the existing Port of Tacoma. So certainly from a staff perspective, modifications or to the overlay district, consistent with what you'll hear here from the private property owners, you know, is appropriate. Just, we're just trying to also meet the concerns expressed by others about allowing more residential development on the slope that might result in more comments, concerns expressed by those residents. So thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Peter. So Randy, we'll turn it over to you and leave it to your legal representative, Brian, for a couple minutes.
Okay, can you hear me?
Yes, sir. Yes.
Brian, I think I'd like to just kind of go over a history lesson a little bit about how long we've owned the property and a quick little background discussion. And then I'd like to turn it back over to Brian to kind of close out our comments. We'll try and be brief. And we really appreciate the opportunity, Connor. We really appreciate the phone call and an opportunity to speak to the committee. Thank you all very much. It's good to have the port here so they can hear directly where we're coming from. I want to bring up a, a, a photo, an old photo, and let's see if I can do that. Here it is. I got some great training before the meeting started. So can you all see that?
Yes, we can.
Okay. This is a 1963 photo that popped up to me from the Fife Historical Museum, and I thought it was a great photo to share with everybody, because it shows what's happened to the Hylabos waterway since 1963. Can you see my cursor? Over at the northernmost hog bank there. This is where Mankey Lumber's office building is currently located. Okay. Here's Woodworth Pit before it became Woodworth Point. And then where I'm holding the cursor is approximately where our development is planned, and where my father in 1953 bought this 8-acre parcel. Actually, it was a little bigger then, 8-acre parcel that he built our home and bought it as an investment. He had a goal to build an apartment house on the side of the hill here. He ended up building 40 units up in Enumclaw. So this kind of got postponed. And this area was where we grew up, duck hunting and so forth, so on and so forth. Then in the early 60s, you can see that the Port of Tacoma started removing the dirt from the hill and filling in. And I believe this is gone now because it was the Ferran Fetlin mining operation. And so basically fast forward 68 years, my dad built the house the year I was born, and we want a development. My mom's 93. She still has goals to develop it. And what you're planning and to do is really devastating to us. And I can see no reason for it, because this is Fife Heights area. We're separated by 400 feet of steep cliffs in elevation. And Brian can talk to that a little bit more. But I sure wish you guys would drop us out of this overlay, because it absolutely makes no sense. 18 homes on 8 acres is a little over 2.25 acres or 2.25 lots per acre. And, you know, the port hasn't been the best neighbors, but, you know, putting a cloud on it, I think that's going to make a big difference, so people don't know what they're, you know, to get into another situation like Woodworth Point. As a trustee of the Barber Hybrid Trust, along with my two brothers and my mom, we plan to utilize every resource available to us to preserve our development rights. This is a matter of honoring my mother's rights to her dreams and to honor my dad's legacy. I would like to leave the ITS committee with a couple thoughts. When you review all of the info and make a recommendation to the city council, could you please call this what it is? It is industrial encroachment. Please consider also the future concept. If all types of pollution were monitored and violators cited, and enforcement was successful to the letter of the law, could industrials be good neighbors with residential neighbors? I think that's worth thinking about. Would there be a need for citizens of a healthy bay if the law was upheld? Brian, I'd like to turn it over to you. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Randy, and thanks everybody else for having us. I mean, to start, I would encourage all the members of the committee to read our written comment that we submitted earlier today. It fully encapsulates our position. I'm happy with this format. It invites more of discussion, question and answers, you know, rather than the formats we've been seeing before where everybody just gets up and gives a speech. So thanks for having us. I'm going to put up my screen. In our letter, we discuss, first off, the lack of the need for an overlay here altogether. The port representatives, discussed the need for a buffer here, and I don't think we disagree with that. But the fact of the matter is, we have the best buffer here in this particular circumstance that one could ever hope for. We have a bluff, hundreds of feet tall, thickly wooded. I don't see why the focus is reducing density beyond what would otherwise be allowed. The focus needs to be maintaining this buffer. So here, what I have up on the screen, over the summer, once this issue was sent to the committee back in the spring, the Heibergs have been very busy putting together a preliminary plat site design that would be allowed under current regulations, and specifically taking into account geologically hazardous areas regulations and other critical areas regulations, and so that we could show what that looks like. So what you have here, I wonder if I can zoom out for a second here. Okay, so here we have a aerial photo. If you can see my cursor, here's High Lewis Waterway, here's Marine View Drive, the intersection down here with Taylor. And the Heiberg property is outlined here.
We can't see you, but that we're still on your plat.
Oh, you're still on my plat. Well, let's see. That's unfortunate. How about now?
No. Yep. There we go.
All right. So here in the center, outlined in blue, is the Heiberg property that we're discussing. And everything else, I think is fairly self-explanatory. Here's Marine View Drive curving down to its intersection with Taylor.
Okay. Sorry, Brian, I've got to interrupt you real quick. There's a question from Councilmember Hunter. Councilmember Hunter. Sure.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you, Brian. And I really appreciate the maps. The visuals are very helpful. As you are, I see your blue screen. Could you also show us where Point Woodworth is on this as part of just acclimating us to
the
area here? And so, that was my only question, Connor. I just wanted to look at it in context of Point
Woodworth. Good idea.
So here I'm circling with my cursor right now is the Point Woodworth development. It's for a bit further northwest going up Marine View. Here's Nor Point coming down to its intersection with Marine View.
Great. Thank you. That's very helpful. That's what I thought. Just wanted to confirm.
Oh, absolutely. You're very welcome. Let me go back to the site design now. So here, can everybody see the plat again?
Yeah, yes.
Okay, so this should help orient you. We have the beveled edge here on the southwest, that sort of orients you to, how this property fits in to its relationship to the tide flats below. the big point here is, I mean, you can see the various topography lines in this dark green shaded area. This is all steep, wooded, hillside that will not be touched as part of a development under the regulations as they now exist. The R2 zoning and critical areas regulations. Without, you know, if the overlay was done away with altogether. And yesterday I went out with the Heiberg brothers and we hiked down through this, and I took a series of photographs from the downward slope, the downslope edges of these parcels to show, you know, what would these folks be looking at in the event that these were developed per this plan. Let me grab that. Actually, I think I can just. Can everybody see these photos?
Yes. So, yes.
Yeah, they're coming up.
This is what would be left. We are standing in various different places along the, you know, again, on the downslope edges of these proposed parcels. And this is what's left. You are looking at thickets of trees. This should really be the beginning and end of the discussion. We aren't asking for the port to, everybody has, their minor complaints here and there. But we aren't looking to push the port away. There's no reason for that they should be able to reach up into our properties and essentially obtain an easement that limits the development potential of these parcels when there are solutions under the current code that address the issue. That applies, broadly to, I think, the entire bluff, but, here we've done the work to show particularly how that's true here. Did you have a question?
No, I was just going to ask you to perhaps kind of wrap up your comments.
Certainly. I'd encourage you to read our letter. It summarizes our position. We are certainly happy to have anybody come out and view the property and judge it for yourself. I am a Tacoma native, but I am a Northwest Ender. So if you're someone that went to Downing and Truman and Wilson, you don't end up in Northeast Tacoma all that often. I was frankly, a bit surprised at just how far removed we felt. I mean, there's a steady drone of sort of urban noise below, but it's frankly not problematic in any way. And then one last aspect I wanted to touch upon before wrapping up, specifically regarding the Heibergs and those in their vicinity. If the council, insists on maintaining the overlay in some form, we would still request that we be removed. We are separate from the bulk of Northeast Tacoma. This wooded here, I'm actually going to. There we go. So here is the Heiberg property, and you see this gulch running along its north and west edges. We call it Mankey Gulch just because Mankey owns a bunch of it. It doesn't appear to have a formal name. This cuts off the Heibergs and the other folks over on this far eastern edge from the rest of Northeast Tacoma. They actually have to exit the city entirely to go elsewhere within the city. They are not taking access via Marine View these conflicts sort of have two aspects. There's, ending up face to face homes with industrial uses, which Point Woodworth is, sort of the quintessential example but that's not possible now under current critical areas regulations. And then there's the traffic impacts. We are well higher than these other parcels, and we don't end up having those same traffic impacts. I'm happy to answer any questions you might have, but I'll wrap up for now.
Thank you, Brian. Thank you, Randy. Thank you both for being here and for your testimony. And I think it's really helpful for the committee to hear from you. Take this time. I know it's late on a Wednesday night, but to take the time to kind of consider this, your concerns. I think what we, in my summary, I guess internally, it's what we heard is some testimony that basically says, look, you know, exclude us from these overlay restrictions because there's already an existing natural buffer there. And I believe what I heard from the Planning Commission director is, you know, there's the opportunity for some flexibility with how we look at the overlay. And I think that, you know, the big picture concern is, I've talked to residents of Point Woodworth in the past, and the concern is with particulate matter in the air, especially asphalts and metals, as well as the noise. And so I think it's not necessarily just the port, it's the city, because we passed the interim regulations. The port did not, but trying to address this concern of maintaining a buffer so we can not potentially put other households into an environment where, you know, there's those potential problems. And I appreciate Randy's point that, hey, you know, if we just clean up the port, it becomes a non-issue. So I'm going to just kind of turn to my colleagues and see if they have any comments or questions before we move to our next panelist, Vice Chair Walker. Okay, she's nodding her head no. Councilmember Hunter.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you, gentlemen, for coming, and I appreciate the proposal that you sent, the letter. The presentation was great and good map. So I just have a note here. I not only serve on this committee, I also serve on the Tide Flat sub-area plan. And I'll circle back with staff, but I would like to go up and do a drive around of your property. So if you could, you know, not here, but afterwards, just send, here's the quickest way to get there, et cetera. I get a little lost sometimes up in Northeast Tacoma, because like you, Brian, I'm a South End gal, and that's a far away place. And, you know, and I also appreciated, Mr. Heiberg's remarks and position of the family property, and that they had plans for it. I will just say that, you know, if the industrials could be good neighbors, would you need like a Citizens for a Healthy Bay? And when we start to look at the remediation that's been done in the Port of Tacoma over the, at least for the 50 years that I've lived here, and the millions invested by those businesses, I would say that they are trying to be good neighbors, or that the efforts are there. So I am certainly sympathetic to your position, but the reason I asked you, Brian, to outline where Point Woodworth is, if you check back, and I've been on council now for almost 4 years, earlier in our presentation, Mr. Egan from the port, I believe Sean, said, you know, when we have residents that encroach upon industrial lands, then they want it changed to something else, and then the buffer is then moved into the industrial area. So just a little quick anecdotal story. In a previous life, when Point Woodworth opened, I was actually there for the Street of Dreams, and I got to cut the ribbon for that joyous occasion. And we were, you know, beautiful homes, taken back by, you know, right there on top of the port and all of that. The people who currently live, or not all the people, some of the people, a good portion of them, have diligently showed up in the last 4 years that I have been on the council to tell us how awful the industrial area is. And they want it They want it to be something else. They are, you know, what we hear from them is that they want the industrial lands changed to something else. And so my thoughts on there is that was your real estate decision. The port was there and operating. It's a little bit different for Mr. Heiberg's family there. So, you know, it's hard to know what the right decision is, because when there was a big, the housing development that did go in there, the consistent message that we hear is we want the industrial area to go away. And so I think that's where the reluctance is to now, you know, the approval of another one. But having said that, I think this is good information. You know, more information we've certainly had. This is the first time I've been aware of the overlay and who it personally affects. So I would like to just ponder this some more, think about it. Also, you know, in the context of not only being on this committee for non-interim regulations, which will be usurped hopefully sooner rather than later, or the sub-area plan will be done. So I have research to do, but I just wanted to share those thoughts that the other residential development, the prominent one that is there, has made it very difficult for us to say, yes, let's put other residential areas in there. So appreciate the pictures about where the trees would be for the buffer and what that would look like. And certainly willing to take a look and analyze that along with my friends. Maybe I can get Chair McCarthy or Council Member Walker or Beal to go with me, one of the staff members, so we could take a look there. So again, thank you for being here. Good information to have and put into the mix.
Thank you, Councilmember Hunter. Councilmember Beal, do you have any comments, thoughts, questions?
I do not. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Okay, well, thank you, Randy and Brian, and we're going to move on to the next segment. Thanks for being here. You go ahead and turn off your cameras when you're ready here. Next, I'd like to invite on Teresa Patton and Don Moody, who we might hear some similar testimony from. With respect to a different property that's impacted by the overlays. So welcome, Teresa and Don. Love to hear your comments.
Hello. Thank you. Don Moody and I both work for CBRE, and we represent two different property owners in the selling of their land up in the Five Heights area, Northeast Tacoma area. So I do have a couple maps that we can share outlining those parcels. And then give you the reasons that we feel that these properties have are reasonable to remove from this moratorium, mainly given that they have just some natural buffers from the port. And I can show you where those are. So let me share my screen and I'll show you the maps. Okay, can everybody see that?
Yes, we can.
Okay, so let me show you the aerial first. It's probably not really oriented quite the right way, but it's this parcel, 1040. It's this parcel, 2077. 1040 is 5 acres. 2077 is 17 acres. Those are owned by two gentlemen. And then we also are representing this property owner, and it's just under 3 acres and selling his property. So to orient you, because this isn't quite oriented the right way, the port would be down here. Or I'm sorry, down here. So not looking here's quite the right way. Yeah, Heiberg. So here, this is Heiberg. This is the port down here. So as you can see,
so you're further back the hill from the Heiberg property.
Yes, okay. Heiberg is this piece right here. So as you can see with the 5 acres, where the boundary is right here is basically the top of the ridge coming up from Marine we'll call it Marine View Drive. And in this portion of the property, you'll see it on the next map, there is some topography in this area. So the basic ridge line is right along here. If I move to the next map, you can see it's oriented a little bit differently. So here's the 5-acre piece. This is the 22-acre piece. And then here's the 3-acre piece. So this purple with this red line outlines kind of the top of the slope, and this is showing you where the elevation is more of a drop off. This area in here is relatively flat, and then you get to the balance of the property. You're a good distance from the slope. So in addition to the slope being way over here, plus it's all treed, between this line and right here is the Bonneville power lines. They run through, they go north-south all the way through here. And so this distance from here at the top of the slope over to here is 375 feet. And you can't build under power lines. You could do things like landscaping or parking or things like that, but you can't build in this area. So in our opinion, you have two natural buffers. One, you have the trees and the top of the slope, because we're really at the top of the slope, and then you've got 375 feet of power lines where you can't build. So we would be looking to have this area, all of this, be buildable and released from the moratorium. And we'd like to see the density of the R2 zoning at the 5,000 square foot per lot. So it's about, there's about 10 acres in here, plus this 3-acre piece. That we're looking to have released from the moratorium, and potentially this area right here be released because it's really not affected by the slope.
If it's zoned R2, oh, I'm sorry, there's a Councilmember Hunter has a question. Sorry to interrupt you, Teresa.
Just a quick question, Teresa. On cursor, I'm using my cursor now, which you can't see. On the border in the light blue, where I'll go back to the right of the screen, where you see the plots that are there, are those already houses that exist up in that area?
Well, yes, they are. So this area right here is a brand new development. Pulte Homes put 24 homes in here, I believe, within the last 2 years. So this is a brand new development. There's 9 homes in here that are within the last, I think about 4 years, new development. And then this right here, I believe is called Silver Ridge. And this is an older development, but probably, I don't know, maybe in the last 20 years. So yes, these are existing neighborhoods. These parcels in here have a couple houses on it, but this piece is vacant. This is encumbered by the power lines. They take up that whole piece. So yes, that's would be our other point that we'd like to make, is that especially this Pulte home project was developed within the last 2 years. This is in the county, not the city. But, you know, it didn't appear, well, with, we would, that's just part of one of the points we'd like to make, is that this is also a residential neighborhood that's recently developed. So we feel like this is a natural area to develop.
Thank you. And then on 12th Street Northeast, which is at the bottom of the screen there, what's across the street from 12th Street Northeast where your cursor currently is? Is that slope? Well,
I believe that the Heibergs own this property, but I'm not 100% sure. But this is all treed in here. And then I believe Mrs. Heiberg lives up in here there's a house up here.
Yeah. Mr. Heiberg, I see you're still on the call, or Mr. Amsbary, is that the Heiberg property there? Just
yes, it is. That okay. Teresa is correct on that.
Okay, great. Thank you. And that clarification is helpful. I appreciate it, Teresa. Thank you, Chair McCarthy. Those are all my questions right now.
Thank you. Thank you, Teresa and Don. Any more kind of closing comments before we?
I would say our closing comments are that, you know, we've had this property on the market probably for about 8 months now. And it's just, we've had multiple offers on it, but it's very difficult to go under contract with someone knowing that we have this moratorium and without a clear path to some conclusion as to what, you know, when we're going to be able to develop at least some of the property and have it removed from the moratorium. So I know our owners, I think they're on the call as well listening, and, you know, there's just some frustration that it seems to be that we don't have an end date to the moratorium. So one, we're saying that we would like to, you know, from a marketing standpoint, it's been very difficult. From a personal standpoint, I, as well as Don, live in Fife Heights along the ridge and have so both of us for about 13 years. And literally, we live on the ridge above the port. And we have never had any issues or concerns with noise or pollutions or anything else. I mean, we think it's beautiful up here. So,
and we love the activity in the port.
Yeah. So to us, it's very interesting. And from a personal standpoint, and we don't have noise or smell issues. So
Could you come to one of our council meetings and say that? That'd be great.
So that's really all we have to say, Don, unless you have something else to add.
Well, I think that Teresa has overstated no noise. We get when they're putting the trains together and different things in the port, we find that very interesting. There's a lot of activity down there at all times. And everybody that comes to visit our house thinks that that's the greatest view they've ever seen.
Yeah. Well, yeah. So, yeah, maybe there is noise, but it's noise that's interesting to us. Yeah. It's not overbearing. So,
thank you. Thank you, Teresa and Don. Excuse me.
Could I interject one point, just building on what they were talking about and following up on what Councilmember Hunter was discussing earlier? I mean, I think there is a material difference between the Point Woodworth development and these other places along the top of the slope. Point Woodworth is set so far down that it ends up face to face with the port in a way that these other properties just don't. So I think that's important to bear in mind. And that's it.
Thanks, Brian. Can you tell me, Teresa and Don, how, if it was zoned, if R2 was allowed with the minimum 5,000 square feet lot or whatever, how many lots would you have on that land?
Well, if we have
how many homes?
Let me calculate it real quick. About 13 acres.
You know, Councilmember, if I may, that's a difficult equation because of other regulations like critical areas and critical steep slopes areas. And setbacks.
Okay. So. Well, I'm just curious because we're big on housing in Tacoma right now. We want to see more housing because there's
what I would say is if we were able to develop the whole 25 acres, if there were no other than the power lines, if there were no moratorium, no slopes, and we had that full 25 acres to work on, we've heard from developers that it would be in the 60 to 80 range. Okay. And that's partly because of the need for septic, because sewer may not be available to this project. So right. It means that you would need to have bigger lots.
Okay. Well, thank you so much for your testimony today. I really appreciate it. Before I kick it over to the committee to have its discussion, I think we get Sean Egan from the port an opportunity to comment. And so on just both issues.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you very much. And realizing, you know, we may be serving as an inherent barrier between you and dinner, I'll keep my comments real quick. First of all, very much appreciate Councilwoman Hunter's comments regarding pollution. I mean, one of the things we have to remind ourselves is that what is illegal today once wasn't allowed uses. And, you know, the Model Toxics Control Act in the state of Washington wasn't even passed until the 1990s. Unfortunately, a lot of the actors who created that pollution have gone away, and the port has stepped in, spending over $250 million to clean up legacy contamination left by others. Now, admittedly, I'm biased because I work for them, but I'm glad they're stepping up to that. Specific to the question of the two properties we're talking about, first of all, very much appreciate Teresa's comments. We work hard to be a good neighbor, and I'm glad we seem to have a good sort of informal relationship in terms of neighbors there. We believe that the use and maximum density exception that is contained in 3C of the district development standards found on page 130, we think it already addresses most of their issues. However, if the committee felt that additional changes were needed, I think the port could say we could live with a higher density standard for these specific properties, but we believe that the other district development standards contained in the Planning Commission recommendation remain important. That includes the title notice and the incorporating the design standards to reduce to the greatest extent practical the impacts, right? And, you know, I think the Heiberg property is a great example. If what they were showing us is the trees that are going to remain at the end of the day, that seems to be meeting those types of conditions. So my perception is that there is an ability to be able to thread the needle in this particular case. Again, our thought was that the exemption in 3C, we thought sort of addressed that issue, but if not, like I said, you know, maybe there is a way to provide a little bit extra density while still maintaining those other standards. So I hope that's helpful. And Deirdre, if I said anything wrong, this is the moment to throw a rock at me.
Oh, all good.
All right. Thank you, Sean. Thank you, Deirdre. Appreciate it. Okay. So I'm going to kick it over to the vice chair for any comments, questions, thoughts. Maybe since we've kind of concluded the portion where we've had some guest input, Peter and Steve, if you want to turn your cameras on, you can, so we can work to close out this meeting. Vice Chair Walker.
Yeah, thank you, Chair. I think Councilor Hunter really hit the nail on the head with the challenge here in this particular area. And so just figuring out how we come to agreement there. As I mentioned earlier, we need to clarify exactly what we're talking about with the other piece in the M1 district. And I am concerned that we're talking about making changes to big visions and plans that are already in place. And of course, I'm very supportive of the transit-oriented development that is happening. I want to make sure that continues. So looking forward to hearing from you, Peter, offline on just clarifying that. And that I think we can feel good to have a decision-making conversation after that. Thank you.
Thank you, Vice Chair Walker. Councilmember Hunter.
Thanks, Chair. I don't have any further questions. I concur with Councilmember Walker. You know, we need to be cognizant of the fact that we do have a very ambitious Tiflat subarea plan in motion as we speak. In fact, that group is meeting again tomorrow. I am, however, interested in a field trip up to the area there, and maybe at the end of next week. I know Councilmember Walker is going to be out of town, but I don't think we're going to make any decisions, you know, in the next 10 days here. For me, it's just helpful to get a visual of what we're talking about here and the proximities, and maybe if it's all right with the property owners, maybe just do a quick walk around. So maybe, Mr. Huffman, we can plan something there. And I don't know, Chair McCarthy or Council Member Beal, if you guys are interested in that. But I would be very interested just to get that visual to be able to report back on that, not only for the purposes of what we're doing in this committee work, but also in my role on the sub-area plan. So Mr. Huffman, I'll circle back around with you offline or after this to see how we might put something like that together. So again, I really appreciate the people, folks who came here tonight. Great presentations, very helpful. Good food for thought. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Councilmember Hunter. And I'm happy to go on a drive with you next week, if you like. Councilmember Beal, questions, comments, thoughts? Let's see. We may have lost Councilmember Beal. Okay. Well, we don't have to make decision in 10 days, but we do in 14, which is great, because we all need to move on. I think sounds like the first set of issues, we were talking about the FOSS and the Dome District, we just need to kind of get some more information on and think about a little bit more. And I won't restate all the comments we've made about those. And then with Marine View Drive, I like what Sean said in terms of threading the needle. I think there's a way to, but I appreciate my colleagues' comments that we should take a look, especially because Councilmember Hunter is on the Subarea Planning Commission, and our adventure here with the non-interim regulations will end 2 weeks from today, the IPS committee, but she will carry on with that work. So I think I don't have any other further questions or comments for tonight's meeting. I don't know, Peter, Steve, any questions or comments you all have before we kind of conclude? Okay.
I have nothing.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, I'm good too. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. So I want to thank Randy Heiberg and Brian Ansery for being here, as well as Teresa Patton and Don Moody and Sean Egan and Deirdre Wilson. I want to thank Peter and Steve for putting a lot of work, as Sean said, into staffing this committee and getting us good information, as well as Claire Goodwin, who gets everything set up and running smooth. So we will be meeting. Oh, let me go to my agenda. Topics for upcoming meetings. I'd like to call on Claire Goodwin, committee liaison.
Good evening, Chair McCarthy, members of the IPS committee. So your next meeting is scheduled for next week. It's a special meeting. You all are very busy here at IPS, so you will continue the discussion of the tide flats non-interim regulations. And then on August 25th, the calendar currently says Planning Commission interviews, but those have been pushed back to November 10th in order to get additional applicants for District 5. And that press release did go out today to try and solicit more folks to apply. And then August 25th, you'll also, that is currently the last scheduled Tide Flats meeting at IPS. And that is with the government to government focus. And then September 1st is a special meeting dealing with non-tide flats issues. So the first item is Planning Commission annual report and the work program. And then you'll hear about the impact fee framework from Public Works. And that's it.
All right. Thank you, Claire. So next week, we don't really have anything slotted other than working through what we've worked through to date to try and get a lot closer before we have a government-to-government meeting August 25th. So next week, the hope is we can accomplish a whole heck of a lot, and I know we can. What's next on here? Public comment. Clerk, will you please read?
Only written comments will be accepted for this meeting. Please submit comments to ipstideflats@cityoftacoma.org. Comments will be compiled and sent to the committee and posted on the Tideflats Interim Regulations page at cityoftacoma.org/tideflatsinterim. You have received 66 comments regarding the Tideflats since your meeting on July 28th, and one comment regarding Home in Tacoma, which was sent to you July 30th, about 12:30 p.m. by Claire.
All right, and thank you so much for that. And just a reminder, after we kick this, whatever this committee decides in terms of changes to the Planning Commission recommendations to the full City Council, there'll be an opportunity, not just for additional written comment, but for in-person comment now that the council is now meeting in person. So looking forward to that. With that, I'd entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second.
Okay, all those in favor?
Aye.
All right, we stand adjourned. Thank you, everybody. Have a great night. Good night.